through this passion, not in passion as I mentioned earlier, but this passion, meaning the absence of passions, we come to a state of divine love, and he who stays in love stays in God, and God stays in him. Again, we start from a true faith, which is of extreme importance, because a person with untrue faith or a heretic could never develop a spiritual life. In other words, he cannot have the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me that you know many, many people of different denominations or Jehovah's Witnesses that have patience and all kinds of virtue. These are qualities that some can achieve and attain even from the devil. Do you know what kind of patience the devil has to make someone fall? He has a great deal of patience. Do you know the type of wisdom that the devil has? He has a great deal of wisdom, but it is demonic, diabolical. It is void of the Holy Spirit of God. His patience and all these qualities, sure, they may exist, but without the Spirit of God. Don't be impressed with the virtues of the heretics, because these virtues are not from God. They do not lead to God, or they are not in the Spirit of God. So, I need truth. I need to have truth. I need to have true faith from inside. I must believe from the time I believe, I will begin to have inside me the fear of God. When I attain the fear of God, I will begin to ask, what does God want me to do? What does God want from me? I will start to keep God's commandments. When I keep God's laws, I will make progress in good deeds and practice my faith in general. And this will bring about the cleansing of the heart and the ability to see clearly, to see the other people, to look at nature and turn to God. A state of contemplation, and a man of contemplation sees God in everything. He sees the works of God, and he sees the divine plan and all the wisdom of God. He begins to see the historical events, and he begins to study and constantly contemplate. That's what a man of contemplation is all about. This is not possible unless the heart is purified and totally clean. You may tell me, don't scientists do the same thing? Yes, but scientists cannot have a pure heart unless they happen to be Christian. Since they do not have a pure heart, they will not be able to attain the deep meaning. Their vision only goes so far. They can study the laws of God and the laws of nature, but they do not have the wisdom and also the purity of the heart to be able to look farther behind the natural laws and behind the causes of the universal laws. We find the Word of God. Saint John the Evangelist records this in his Gospel. The Word was in the world, but the world did not know him, did not recognize him. Why? Because their deeds were dark. He came to his people, but they did not receive him. They did not accept him because their deeds were evil. And that's why I told you that if one does not purify his heart, it is impossible to envision these higher truths. And that's why the end of the virtues in practice brings about the divine life and the divine contemplation, which in turn brings about the total elimination of passions or dispassion, apatheia in Greek. It is a great accomplishment and a very rare one. And today, unfortunately, we do not have too many Christians that reach this type of state, the state of elimination of all passions, to be rid of passions. And when this state is reached, it brings forth pure love. Now you may ask, do we have love? We are Christians. Yes, we have love, but what level of love do we have? Just like we have different levels of faith, we also have different levels of love. First of all, our love is usually based on self-interest and emotion. And, for instance, when I look at a certain person, I may say he or she is a nice-looking person. Inside me, there's a certain selfish interest or desire, and this type of love is not necessarily a Christian love. It is a selfish or unclean love. Genuine love is something different. The love that we just described is a worldly type of love that has not been purified. We must purify this type of love, and to clean it up, we must reach the passionless state, and at the state of dispassion, we can reach the pure unconditional love, which is true Christian love. Do we realize now how great this thing is? Obviously, Jesus told us to love our neighbors, and we do. But this is the beginning. We offer a type of love that is mixed, and it is not pure. Jesus accepts this type of love with the understanding that we are constantly striving towards cultivating and perfecting this type of love. And by continuous striving towards dispassion, we will be offering a love that is more and more acceptable to God. And he who stays in love stays in God, and God stays with him. And this love, or whoever has this level of love, is now living the true spiritual life, and this is the avenue of the spiritual life. We start from faith. I believe, said the Ethiopian, that Jesus is the Son of God. Once faith comes in, and I repeat once again, I begin to have fear of God. Fear brings the practical virtues and exercise of God's commandments, which brings to contemplation and finally dispassion, which leads to love. And at that point, we live in God and we are able to see God. So this is the journey of the spiritual life. St. Paul separates people into three categories: the secular, carnal, and spiritual. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, he says, "Brothers, I could not speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, babes in Christ." In other words, you are taking your first steps in your spiritual life. Of course, to become a full-grown man, I must start as a baby. So he does not call them worthless. He calls them babies, babes in Christ. He classifies them as biological, carnal, and spiritual. And who is the biological or secular person? He is the person that lives only by the physical and biological laws. The man that says, I need to eat. The purpose of my life is to live good, to eat good. And if I see that my years are going by and I don't have a good relationship, my life is worthless or meaningless. The secular man who lives for the day. The carnal man is the man who recognizes the statutes of God, recognizes the laws and the commandments of God and the Holy Spirit, but has not adapted to them as of yet. He did not catch on. St. Paul does not call these people secular, but he calls them carnal. In other words, you started to live the spiritual life, but you are still controlled by the physical laws and habits. You are not secular, but of course you are not spiritual either. He speaks about the spiritual people as well, and he refers to them in the manner that we describe them all this time. The question is, how are we going to get started, my brothers? We are carnal people. We are not secular. Since we are listening to the Word of God, we can, by God's grace, at least call ourselves carnal. But how are we going to start to become spiritual people? how are we going to be able to increase in the Lord and not be forever children in the spiritual sense? Initially, it takes self-knowledge. We are going to come to grips with ourselves and ask, who am I? Let's be careful and take heed about these few things that we heard today. If we don't study these things and take some serious mental notes on them, we cannot be expected to become workers of self-knowledge. On the other hand, if we contemplate on them, on these things that we share today, and begin to ponder on them, taking self-inventory, again, what is the meaning of life? What am I doing? And work these things, this type of material, work it in our thoughts as a way to self-knowledge. In other words, to compare ourselves with this information, then we will begin to say that we have some self-knowledge. And when I diagnose my true self, then I will begin to become a spiritual person with the entire method and journey that we described all this time. Who am I and where can I go? And you know, according to Saint Gregory Palamas, these thoughts are not for angels, but for people. Did we hear this? This is not for angels, but for us people, which means we must start ascending as much as we can. We must get started somehow and begin to climb and increase and grow spiritually. Do we know what is our method or what is our model or standard for this type of growth? It is Jesus Christ Himself. And this is what St. Paul says. To increase size in ourselves with the measure or standard of Jesus Christ, we must begin to grow, trying to reach the spiritual stature of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became what we must become. Let's not be surprised by this type of thing. However, if at some point Christ comes to take us from this present life, this present world, and He finds us at some point of spiritual development, He finds us on a spiritual ascent, since in this life we naturally have children that die and teenagers and young people, not just old people. In the same manner, in the spiritual life, God reaps and drafts into His kingdom people from all different points and levels of development. Only we must be found on the journey of our spiritual development. This is why we must ask ourselves on a daily basis, my friends, how can I increase? What can I do? And then without a doubt, I will reach the fullness and the measure of the spiritual height of Jesus Christ. With these things in mind, we are given a very beautiful prayer from Saint Isaac the Syrian, which comes to help us in our struggle. And I quote, O Jesus Christ, the only mighty one, blessed is he who has his confidence in you and has your superior thoughts in his heart. You, O Lord, take our eyes off the desires of this present world and help us to want and desire only you until we see the world as it really is, unquote. In other words, to see the world in its true colors. It is of great help for someone to see how fake the world is. For us to understand this, let's say that there are some jewelry stores that are selling gold jewelry, which is counterfeit or false, fake. And let's say that we have the discretion to verify this fact. Would we ever pay for a gold piece that's really false and not made out of gold? So if we would ever see that the world, as much as it shines, as much as it glitters, the world from a standpoint of morality and ethics is false. It is decaying. It is no longer something that we should desire. Please take a close look at the form of entertainment that people have today, a so-called party. What craziness, how people jump around and dance like being possessed. You would ask me, can this be something great, something good, a great event? Not if we have any spirituality. We see how false it really is. So if we see things through with our spiritual eyes and happen to realize the trickery of the world, we can never again love or desire what it has to offer. And then what will it do? We will turn to Jesus Christ entirely. That's why he says, until we see the world as it really is, and not believe some of the shadows as truth, not believe the things that quickly vanish as the truth. And now we continue with the prayers of one of our church fathers again. A quote, "Make us new, O Lord, and grant us to hasten before our death, so at the hour of our departure we know how we came into this world and how we are to depart it, so we would fulfill first the work for which we were called according to your will in this present life, and after this to hope in our minds full of confidence to receive our great reward according to your gospel, according to your promises in the Holy Scriptures, which your love prepared for us in the second resurrection, and their remembrance is kept in the faith of your mysteries. I also wish and pray, my friends, with all my heart, for the beginning of this new church year, that the Word of God will cultivate the grounds of your heart, so the beautiful plan of the spiritual life may be deeply rooted and constantly grow until we find ourselves in the kingdom of God. Amen."